I have it on my heart, dear friends, this afternoon to look for a little while at a few instances in the life of Philip. Many of you will recall that in the New Testament we have, I believe, at least three Philips mentioned. We have Philip the Tetrarch, who was the brother of Herod, and whose wife was the principal character that led to John the Baptist being martyred. We also have an account of Philip the Apostle, one of the 12. And then we also have Philip, the one who is the deacon and who was also the evangelist. Well, the one I would like to look at this afternoon is the second one of the three that I mentioned, Philip the Apostle. And the first time we come in contact with Philip is in the first chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. You will recall that earlier in this chapter, we have John the Baptist saying, Behold the Lamb of God. And that simple pointing by John the Baptist to Christ, that expression that came from his heart, Behold the Lamb of God, led Andrew to follow Jesus, led eventually to the bringing of Simon Peter. But when we come to the 43rd verse, we find that the Lord Jesus goes out to seek for Philip. And so it says, On the morrow, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Dear young people, I am confident that there are many here this afternoon amongst the young people who belong to Christ. Many of you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what an immense importance it is. What a voice it has to the heart, or should have to the heart of every one of us that belong to Christ, to realize that it was the Lord Jesus Christ seeking us that brought us to know Him as Savior. That the Lord Jesus, as we have here in connection with Philip, He sought out Philip. He started out to find Philip. And Philip heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him personally and saying, "Follow me." We've had before us in these meetings these last few days, particularly at least for my own soul, the Lord Jesus presented to us as the object of our heart's affection. And so we find here in the case of Philip, what simple, what beautiful words, "Follow me." Dear young people, if we get our eyes on anyone else, if we find our eyes fixed upon any one of the brethren, any one of those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in danger of being led into some path that would be not according to the mind of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ can only lead us, only lead you, dear young people, in a pathway that pleases God and will bring peace and joy to yourself. He cannot lead in any path but that which will satisfy the heart of God and at the same time satisfy your heart too. We find when we go on with the account that when Philip heard these words, "Follow me," he went out to seek for Nathanael. And so it says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He had come to find, as it seemed to himself, he had found the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who fulfilled all that the prophets wrote concerning God's eternal Son. The truth of the matter was, dear young people, as we've already noticed, it was the Lord Jesus that had found him. It was the Lord Jesus that had gone seeking for him. But Philip speaks from his heart, and he goes to someone else. He goes and seeks out Nathanael, that he might tell Nathanael what he has found, that he might speak to Nathanael of the one who has become the object of his heart. Dear young people, the Scripture tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so this one, Philip, now that he has, as he expresses it, now that he has found the one that fulfills all that the Scriptures have said, now that he has found the one that can satisfy his heart, he goes, in turn, to seek Nathanael and to bring Nathanael to Christ. You notice how Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael had not yet met the Savior, but we notice Philip says so simply, "Come and see." Come and see. Philip had been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard his voice speaking to him and saying, "Follow me." And he knew that if Nathanael would come to Jesus, if Nathanael would come to the one that Philip had met, that he too would find that this was the one that could satisfy his heart too. Dear young people, you and I are given a wonderful privilege. We belong to Christ.
You are his. You have had it revealed to you that he has sought you out and claimed you as his own. The Lord Jesus speaks now to your heart and mind and says, follow me. The Lord Jesus has a pathway marked out for us. He has a pathway marked out for us, dear young people, here in the wilderness. And he goes before us in that path. And his desire for us is that we might have our eyes on him. Not on our brethren, but on Christ. And then we have the privilege, because of that, because our hearts are fixed on Christ and occupied with him, we have the privilege of being able to call others to come and see. You notice how it tells us in this portion we've read that when Nathanael came to the Lord Jesus shows him that he had already been marked out, that the Lord Jesus had already seen him. But notice what the Lord Jesus says in that 48th verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The Lord Jesus had had his eye on Nathanael. But, dear young people, Philip had the privilege of calling Nathanael to Christ. Philip had the privilege of inviting Nathanael to come and find in Christ what Philip had found, an object for his heart. Follow me. Dear young people, for you and I, what one covets for one's own heart and soul is that we might follow Christ, that we might take our instruction, our direction from the one who sought us out when there was nothing in us to love at all, when there was nothing in us to call out such love, when there was nothing in us to stir up such affection, such love on his part. He was the one who sought for you. He sought for you. And now, dear young people, he covets your company. He longs to have you walk with him. He longs to have each one of us that belong to Christ here as we go through the wilderness to walk in the company of the one who sought us out and made us his own. Dear young people, God has, one says it reverently, God has for all eternity found the Lord Jesus as the object of his heart. And now, through wondrous grace, God has chosen to share that object of his affections with you and I, to give to us, to find in Christ the same delight that he finds in his beloved Son. Oh, dear young people, what a claim he has upon us. What a claim he has upon our affections. How this voice, his voice, should speak to us, should speak to me when he says, follow me, because he died that we might be redeemed to himself. And then he sought us out and made us his own. Could we turn over now to the 10th chapter of Matthew for a few moments? Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican,
James the son of Alphaeus and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. And the 16th verse, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You notice how in the first verse it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, of whom we have noticed that Philip was one, it says he gave them power against unclean spirits. These disciples were going out, Philip among them, to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. And as they went out thus to serve the Lord, as they went out as sheep amongst wolves, their young people, they were outfitted of God. The Lord Jesus fitted them for this service. He gave them power, that they might have power over the unclean spirits, and the ability to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and so on. Dear young people, we don't have that kind of power today. We don't have the power to raise the dead or to heal the sick. But you and I too, we belong to Christ. Through a wilderness scene, he calls upon us to follow him. And beloved young people, he has given us, you and I that belong to Christ, he has given us the power to walk here to please him. Never at any time can we say, when we grieve his heart, when our footsteps turn aside after something down here, never are we able to say truthfully, I couldn't help it. Because, dear young people, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have been given the power to walk down here to please God, even though you and I are indeed sheep among the wolves. We're in a world where everything is opposed to Christ. If you're going to walk to please God in school, you're not going to be popular, because the course of this world is in just the opposite direction. The things that this world seeks after are not the things that you seek after at all if you're going to follow Christ. The pathway that you walk leads in a completely different direction than the pathway that this world follows. But, dear young people, in spite of the fact that here in this world everything is opposed to the Christian, everything is opposed to you as a young child of God, you have the power given of God by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to not only know the mind of God, to not only know what God would have you to do, but you have the power too, given of him by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to walk to please him, to put his claims, the claims of the one who said, follow me, to put his claims first, to put his commandments above all else. Dear young people, one covets this for one's own heart. One covets this for one's own life, that the Lord Jesus might be such an object for my heart that when he says, follow me, all other things fall into their rightful place. As we were having in Philippians the other day, that we might know him. Dear young people, when we know him, when to know Christ, to have our hearts occupied with him, when his claims come first, the claims of those around us fall into their rightful place. Well, we find here that these ones, like Philip was one of them. He was going out into a world to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going out to preach, and his case, the gospel of the kingdom. But he was outfitted by his Lord for that service. He was given the power that he needed so that he could serve the Lord in a scene where that which he came in contact with would be opposed to his pathway as a child of God. Dear young people, you have too, and so have I. The Lord Jesus calls us, you in your way and I in mine, to serve him in school or in the office. In some way or other, every one of us has been given, as one of God's children, that which we can do to serve the Lord. And we have been outfitted. We have been given the power to serve him in whatever the course is, in whatever the place is, in whatever the position is. You say to me, perhaps, you don't know what it's like in the school where I go. You don't know what it's like amongst the children in our class or the young people in our class. Or perhaps someone else might say, in the office where I work, everything is so opposed. The people in my office don't seem to have any respect for the Word of God at all. Dear young people, that may be. But the Lord Jesus, the one who has called you and I to follow him, he never leads us into a path of service to him without giving us all that we need, all the power, all the grace that we need to serve him in that place, if that's what he's called us to. And so, dear young people, may you and I, and for myself especially, may we seek from the one who has called us to follow him. May we turn to him and own that without him we can do nothing, but that the one who has overcome the world, the one who has met all the opposition of the enemy of our souls and has overcome him, may we turn to him, the one who has said, follow me. And, beloved young people, we will find that all the grace and all the power that we need is there along the road to please him. And we turn over now to the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Dear young people, this is a portion of the Word of God that has searched my heart and my conscience. We find here that these Greeks had come up to the feast, and they desired to see Jesus. And they turned to Philip. Their desire was to see Jesus. And so they go to Philip, so that Philip might be able to introduce them to the Lord of glory, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear young people, the question I have asked myself, and I would ask it of you and ask you to ask yourself, if there was a boy in your class at school, if there was a young man or a young lady in your office tomorrow morning who desired to find Christ, whose conscience was exercised about their sin, who felt a need and they desired to find Jesus, dear young people, would they turn to you? Would they feel that you could point them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you know, dear young people, sometimes we can have a reputation for being able to tell the best jokes. Perhaps we can have a reputation for being able to tell the best way to dress, the best way to have the very latest in appearance, the best way to have to meet the world's styles in whatever way it is. But dear young people, those that we live with, those that we work with, those that we go to school with, if they want Jesus, do they feel, do they know Do they have reason to see from your walk and mine that there is one who has been in the company of Jesus? There is one that we can go to and he'll point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what we find with Philip here. The Greeks sought for Jesus and they went to Philip. And Philip turns to Andrew and the two of them go to tell Jesus. Philip had an immediate access. Andrew had an immediate access to the Lord Jesus Christ. These Greeks sought for him. Beloved young people, may it exercise my heart much more than yours. But may God give us to be exercised one and all as young people that belong to Christ. We bear the name of Christ. And oh, beloved young people, do we not desire for ourselves? Would we not seek to ask the Lord for grace for ourselves, that those with whom we come in contact, your best friends at school, your best chums, the ones that you go to school with every day, should they realize that about you and about me, there is something that's different, that we are identified with Christ. So that if they would seek for him, seek for Jesus, they would turn to you and feel that from you they would get the truth, that they would be pointed in the right way to find Jesus. Beloved young people, may God grant to each one of us that it might be so of us, that it might be so of you and I, just like Philip. They come to him. And he tells Jesus all about it. Could we turn over now to the 14th chapter of John, 6th verse. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Now we come to another episode in the life of Philip. We have come just about to the end of the Lord's pathway here. Philip has been walking in the company of the one that called him to follow him for about 3 years. And now the question comes up in the Lord's conversation with his own on the night before he was betrayed. This is what we refer to, dear young people, as the upper room ministry. That which was given to us on the very eve of the Lord's death. And we find the Lord Jesus speaking to them about the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we find that Philip, in spite of the fact that he has walked in the Lord's company for 3 years, yet there are still things that he does not know. Still things that he has to learn. And as we noticed in Philippians 3 the other day, we find Paul saying that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul's earnest desire was, even though he had walked in the company of the Lord Jesus for, I suppose, close to 25 years at that time, but he still longed to know him more. Well, we find here that Philip has to say, when the Lord Jesus speaks of the Father, Philip finds that he has not seen, he has not comprehended, he has not taken in for himself, that in all that the Lord Jesus did down here, in every step of his pathway, in every word that he spoke, it was a revelation of all that was in the Father's heart. And so it was that he could say, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But what has searched my own heart, dear young people, is particularly the expression where the Lord Jesus says to Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Oh, beloved saints of God, dear young people especially, some here have walked in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years. I have known the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior now for about 25 years. And yet, dear young people, this verse still searches my heart. Troubles arise in our business life. Troubles arise in our family life. Troubles arise in our assembly life. And, dear young people, sometimes, speaking for oneself, we find ourselves getting so distressed, getting so troubled, getting so upset. And this verse has come before my own soul. "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Beloved brethren, we have seen the Lord's goodness, the Lord's care over His own. We have seen how He has delivered His gathered saints from trial after trial after trial. And yet when fresh trials come in, when fresh questions arise, when things arise again that the Lord allows, the danger is for us saying, the danger is for us to forget that the Lord has cared for us in the past, that we have proven His love time and time and time again. Dear young people, there is nothing that is going to come up in your life, in your family life, in your personal life, or in your assembly life, but that the One who loves you very dearly, has allowed it. Do you remember how the disciples were in the boat with the Lord Jesus when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee and the great storm arose and the Lord Jesus was asleep on the pillow and His disciples went and woke Him and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Oh, beloved young people, could we not, as it were, hear the Lord Jesus? Could He not very well have said to them at that very time, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" Hadn't they proven His love and His care and His goodness? Hadn't they seen time and time again that He was able to provide for every obstacle along the way, for every storm, for every difficulty? And yet, dear young people, how prone one's own heart is to forget, to become distressed and upset again, to find ourselves falling back upon our own resources, to think that we must in some way do something, create something to help ourselves, instead of turning to the One who has proven time and time again that He is faithful and that He is able and that His love for His people never changes. Oh, one thinks of Philip here, of hearing the voice of the One who had called him to follow Him, to hear Him saying, to hear Philip, as it were, to have Philip hear the voice of his own blessed Lord saying to him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Beloved young people, may we have the grace to trust Him. We have proven Him. There are brethren here that could tell you how they have proven His goodness and proven His love and proven His care and proven that He is able for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years. Why is it? Why is it that my heart gets distressed again? Oh, dear young people, it's because I forget. My heart, as it were, forgets, turns away.
and overlooks the fact that that same love that took him to the cross, that same love, dear young people, that led him to seek you out as he sought Philip, that same love has undertaken to take us all the way home to glory. The captain of our salvation has charged himself with delivering every saint of God safely home to glory. May we trust him. May we prove him. May we rest in his love and in his care and not question, not give place to the devil who would give us to question his love and his care. And, dear young people, what one seeks for one's own soul is that the longer we go on, the longer we're left here, that we might walk in his company, that we might prove his love more and more, and that we might find ourselves coming to know him better. Know his ways, know his purposes, above all, know his love, and thus to know himself. Could we turn over to one last portion in the first chapter of Acts? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And the second chapter and the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then in the 42nd verse, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. You will recall how at the beginning of our meeting we noticed that in our first introduction to Philip, we have the voice of the Son of God speaking to him and saying, "Follow me." We have seen how Philip could walk in the company of the Lord Jesus for those 3 years. We have seen how the Lord Jesus reminds him of his love and his care on the very eve before he's taken away. And if we had read the earlier part of this first chapter of Acts, we would find that the Lord Jesus has ascended to glory. He's gone back to heaven. And we find the 11 now, Judas Iscariot is gone, but the 11 are together. They have heard from the Lord Jesus himself that they were to abide at Jerusalem until they were imbued with power from on high. And so we find these 11, Philip among them, here together with one accord in one place. Oh, dear young people, does this not follow? Does this not follow from those simple words, "Follow me"? The Lord Jesus, when he was here in this scene, he called upon his disciples, he called upon Philip to follow him here through this scene. And now he's gone back to glory. And where would we expect to find Philip? Where would we expect to find this one who had been called to follow Christ in the wilderness through this journey here? Dear young people, would we not expect to find him in God-centered, in that center of Jerusalem waiting for the coming of the Spirit of God, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God would come and baptize them by one Spirit into one body. Beloved young people, you belong to Christ. Mark this. You are a member of the body of Christ. Nothing can change that. There is no way, nothing that the devil can do, nothing that the enemy of our souls can do to change that. You belong to Christ. You have been connected livingly by the Spirit of God to the head of the body in heaven. And here in this room this afternoon, if you have heard His voice saying, "Follow me," you belong to Christ, you've been called by Him, then, dear young people, you are a member of His body. You have been brought into this company that was on the day of Pentecost joined together by the Spirit of God into one body. Now we find that Philip, here identified with this company, waiting there with the 11 in the upper room, he waits there for the Spirit of God to come. He is identified, connected up with by the Spirit of God, that one body that was formed on the day of Pentecost. And he continues on in the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Beloved young people, you belong to Christ. You know Him as your Savior. You're given the privilege of bringing others to Christ, as Philip did with Nathanael. You have been given the power to walk down here to please Him. You have the privilege of having a testimony in a world that has rejected Christ, so that you, like Philip, are identified with Christ. So that if there is those who would seek after Christ, they might turn to you, because they know, they take knowledge of the fact that you have been with Jesus. We find that the Lord Jesus Himself has reminded Philip of His love and His care. And now, dear young people, may I ask you, may I ask myself, do we earnestly desire to go on in the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' fellowship? Do we earnestly desire, oh beloved young people, earnestly desire to be identified with one who has died and risen and ascended to glory, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we desire to be identified with Him here, here, in a world where He has been rejected? May God grant that we might each one earnestly desire that. You know, I heard a brother some time ago, and this brother said something that struck my heart very much. Another brother made a comment about something that had happened that distressed him very much, and he made a comment to the effect that if that was allowed, he might have to leave. And this brother turned to him, and as I say, beloved young people, his expression struck me very much. He just quoted six words. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? Where would we go? The Lord Jesus Christ, dear young people, has established a center. He has set Himself as the gathering center for those that belong to Him. And many of us here have been given the wondrous privilege of enjoying His company, of being gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. With much stumbling and much failure, and yet through grace supplied of Him, through the power that He supplies to be able to go on in the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' fellowship." Dear young people, we find Philip here. Is that where you're found? You know, I fear sometimes that some young people may feel that they have to do something special, that in some way they must change something and change into something else before they can remember the Lord Jesus in his death or be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved young people, if you belong to him, you are a member of his body. And if you are a member of his body, your place is there. Your place is there. This morning, your place was there, whether you were there or not. Your place was there to be there in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering him in his death. Your title to be there was because you're a member of the body of Christ. Your title to be there, dear young people, is because you're identified with Christ. Were you there? Were you there when the Lord Jesus, as it were, looked over that company this morning? Did he see you there? Did he see you? Did he see your face? Did he hear your voice this morning? Did he realize that you have answered? Did he see that you have answered to his request to remember him at his death, to go on with those who are gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, going on in the apostles' doctrine and the apostles' fellowship? Dear young people, could I put it reverently by putting it this way? If Philip had been here this morning, he would have been there. He had heard the voice of the Son of God say, "Follow me," and that's where it would have led this morning. Dear young people, may God grant to you and I that we might follow that same voice, that we might listen to the voice of the same person, that we might find ourselves identified with one who has been rejected and cast out, but one who's coming for us, the one who has provided the power and the grace to walk to please him. And dear young people, if we do fail, and one only has to search one's own heart to find the failure there, may God give us the grace to just turn to the one who has called us to follow him, the one who sought us out in the first place, and confess our failure to him, and we will find that it is his delight to restore and to bless. Dear beloved saints of God, may we, as it were, find from our own hearts, speaking to the Lord Jesus about this precious privilege of being gathered to his name and his name alone. Beloved saints of God, where else would we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thank God, dear young people, I do thank God every day for those young people who desire to go on to please him. And may God grant that you and I, if he has spoken to us in these meetings, as he has indeed spoken to my heart, may it have the result of us again, afresh, finding the Lord Jesus Christ as the object of our hearts, that we might join with the Spirit of God in saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus."